Well, as we continue our series in the Gospel according to Mark, as I said last week, we will not be pumping the brakes, but we're going to let off the gas just a little bit. So this morning, we continue in chapter 12. We'll be finishing chapter 12, reading verses 35 through 44. I'll be reading from the ESV this morning, and I invite you to stand with me if you're able for the reading of God's Word. And before we attempt to read and preach and apply God's Word to our hearts and our lives this morning and this week, let's go to the Lord once more in prayer. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for your words. We do recognize your words are truth, your words are life. We need them more than the air we breathe, and the water we drink, and the food we eat. We know that we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Lord, feed your sheep this morning. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. This is Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. Listen to God's word. And as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, "How can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, in the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. So how is he his son?" And the great throng heard him gladly. And in his teaching he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes, and like greetings in the marketplaces, and have the best seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury, and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Amen. All of us are like grass, and all our glory is like a flower in a field. Grass withers, flowers fade, and they fall, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. Prestige. In this passage, we see prestige. We see honor attributed. We see honor desired. And we see honor given. Whose son is the Christ? Jesus is teaching in the temple. You remember last week, he's just answered a series of questions. They've been interrogating him. They've been asking him questions, trying to catch him in a trap, to say something that they can use against him in their kangaroo court of law. But now, no one dared to ask him any more questions. And Jesus says, "Let me ask you a question." He turns the tables on them and he brings up what is the most often quoted passage in the Old Testament in the New. Or to put it another way, Psalm 110, which Jesus quotes here and to which we'll turn in just a second. Psalm 110 is the most quoted verse or passage from the Old Testament by the New Testament authors. It's immensely important. Over 30 times it's quoted in the New Testament. So Jesus is teaching in the temple, and this is what he says. How can the scribe say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself in the Holy Spirit declared, "The Lord said to my Lord." Now you have to understand, especially in this culture, children are not greater than their fathers. They came from their fathers. We have a saying that this is the cloth from which I am cut. The cut piece of cloth is not greater than the original piece of cloth. The honor of a king is not bestowed to his children, but to himself. And so Jesus is bringing this up and saying, now look, David is the king. He is Lord of Israel. But he says, the Lord said to my Lord. Now, there is a convention in English translations that is helpful that distinguishes between Lord, all caps, or really small caps, big capital L, little capital O, little capital R, little capital D, which is reserved for the divine name Yahweh, or as it came to us through German, Jehovah. This is the name that the Lord revealed to Moses in the burning bush. Remember Moses said, well, suppose they ask me who sent me, what should I tell them? And he says, I am who I am, Ehye Asher Ehye, and you shall say, Yahweh, he is, sent me to you. So that's the all caps Lord. And if you look in Psalm 110, your Bible, if you have it printed in English, most likely, there's probably a 98% chance, that first Lord is in small caps. And then the second Lord, the Lord says to my Lord, is capital L, little O, little R, little D. What's the difference? The first one is the divine name Yahweh we just mentioned, and the second one is the title Adonai. Adonai, Lord, or Master. So it makes sense that there would be a divine name that David would refer to someone as Lord. We get that. That makes sense. God alone is Lord, all caps. But who's this other Lord that David is referring to? The Adonai. Yahweh says to my Adonai. Who is David's Adonai if it's not Yahweh? This, Jesus says, is strange to his hearers. And they hear this and they're like, wow. And they're amazed. Who could this be? The Lord said to my Lord. I want to read the rest of this, what he's quoting. I want you to hear the majesty and the prestige. We know that this Lord is the Lord Jesus. He is the Son of Man and the Son of God. He is the Son of David, the Lion from the tribe of Judah. Listen to the prestige that is earned by the Lord Jesus. The Lord said to my Lord, Adonai said to Yahweh, said to my Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power. In holy garments from the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. How can David say, Yahweh says to my Adonai? It's because of the incarnation, the God-man, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was in existence and in God's presence and one with God's essence from all eternity. Listen to what Colossians 1 says. Colossians 1:15, Paul tells the Christians in Colossae, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the Lord Jesus. He is from all eternity king. And now he has been crucified. The blood of his cross atones for the sins of all who will put their trust in him. And for that reason, he has been given the name that is above every name. You know, it's interesting if we ask the question, does Jesus have the name above every name intrinsically, like because of who he is from all eternity, or did he earn it? And the answer is yes. It's both. Jesus didn't say, well, I'm God. I don't have to earn anything. I deserve prestige by very nature of who I am, by virtue of my office, by virtue of my person. I don't need it to be by virtue of my work. That's what he could have said. But the Lord Jesus did not count equality with God as a thing to be held on to, grasped, and clung to tightly. And he said, I will empty myself for you. This reminds me of, I prayed a portion of this in our prayer time together. We had a wonderful prayer time during the Sunday school hour. And I want to pray the first prayer. I want to read for you this prayer that just highlights the majesty of God and his humility so beautifully. And this is from the Valley of Vision. And this first prayer is the prayer that this book gets its title from, the Valley of Vision. Lord, high and holy, meek and lowly, thou hast brought me to the Valley of Vision, where I live in the depths but see thee in the heights. Hemmed in by mountains of sin, I behold thy glory. Let me learn by paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is the healed heart, that the contrite spirit is the rejoicing spirit, that the repenting soul is the victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, that to bear the cross is to wear the crown, that to give is to receive, that the valley is the place of vision. It goes on to say that, Lord, in the daytime, stars can be seen from deepest wells, and the deeper the wells, the brighter thy stars shine. Let me find thy light in my darkness, thy life in my death, thy joy in my sorrow, thy grace in my sin, thy riches in my poverty, thy glory in my valley. What a Savior. Everything belongs to him, was created through him and for him. And he was willing to lay it all down, even to lay down his own life. No one took Jesus' life from him, you understand. He laid it down freely, willingly, out of love. Will we receive this beautiful gift from the Lord? These Pharisees, Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the scribes especially, they wanted prestige. They loved getting honor from people. They would flaunt their status with the clothing that they would wear. They would wear these specific prayer shawls that were floor length and would be like robes, and they would greet each other in the marketplaces with these superfluous titles, and they wanted prestige. See, Jesus, he deserves prestige and glory and honor, and yet he's willing to lay it down and then to earn it for his people. And these scribes, Jesus says, watch out for these guys, because they want to earn their own prestige and honor. Beware of the scribes, verse 38, who like to walk around in long robes. They like greetings in the marketplaces. Oh, they want to have the best seats in the synagogues. Oh, in the places of honor at feasts. Watch out for these guys. They devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They pray these long, fancy-sounding prayers with holy words so that other people could see just how holy they are. And Jesus says, unless your holiness exceeds that of the scribes, you're in serious trouble. And everyone's going, what? They're the holiest people there are. If they're not holy enough, who could be holy enough? And Jesus is saying, they're not holy at all. They've already received their reward. Their reward is what they get from people, and not what they get from the Lord. So this is a good, sober warning to us, and especially those of us who teach and preach. They will receive the greater condemnation. Scripture says, not many of you should become teachers. We are held to a higher standard, and we must beware of hypocrisy. Pray this for your elders, for me, for whomever the Lord has to be our next pastor, that we would be an entire congregation filled with leadership and lay people that abhor and detest hypocrisy. And then we have quite a change of tone and scene, and yet it's the exact same thing. Here we see prestige not earned, prestige not desired, but prestige freely offered. Verse 41, and he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, but then there's this poor widow, and she comes and she puts in her 2 cents. This is where we get this expression from, actually. This is my 2 cents. It's not much to offer, but it's what I got. I humbly give it to you. Here's my 2 cents. This widow says, I don't have much. Could you imagine someone different, more different than the scribes? I'm sure if you put yourself in her position, you don't want anyone to see you. You don't want anyone to be watching you. She's not making this big show. Look at this. I got 2 pennies for you, Lord. She tries to slip in unnoticed, put it in. And the most ironic thing is she does not slip in unnoticed. Someone special is watching her. God incarnate, God in the flesh, is watching this, and R.C. Sproul calls this the most famous donation in all of history. This poor widow put in way more than everyone else, all those rich folks who were contributing to the offering. Because they gave out of their abundance, the Lord Jesus says. People are like, can't you do the math, Jesus? Jesus can do the math just fine. They all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Friends, will you trust that the Lord Jesus can use, whatever it is, as Greg prayed, our talents, our time, our energy, our efforts, our words, our finances. He can use all of these things, as small as they may be. You may say, I just have 2 cents. That's more than enough. Will you give the Lord what you can and trust that he will honor it? Trust that he will use it. And this is, again, what we just prayed with the Valley of Vision, that to have nothing is to possess all, that to give is to receive. We must remember, I would scruple with R.C. Sproul's, and he would agree with this. This is not the most famous donation. This is the second most famous donation in the history of mankind. The first, of course, is our Lord Jesus, who gave not just his 2 cents. He gave everything that he had. He laid down his life. This is good news. This gives us confidence. This means we do not have to earn a right standing with the Lord. We don't have to earn this status and put on this wonderful robe of holiness and march around in the marketplace or in church and see others and be greeted with these fancy titles. We can simply cling to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, who freely gave everything he had for you and for me who believe. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to trust in him and to give him our all. Lord God, we come humbly to your throne of grace. We are like a widow who has next to nothing to offer you. We do not have intrinsic honor and prestige and power. We are weak and we are lowly. And we pray that in our weakness and in our humility, we would not seek prestige. We would not seek our own advancement and glory, but that we would humbly admit exactly who we are. You see our frame. You remember that we are but dust. And instead to seek the honor of the Lord Jesus, the name above every name, and look forward to the day where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord, and he always has been and always will be. And until that day, help us to serve our King faithfully until he returns. And would you please use our humble offerings for your glory and for the good of your people? For it's in your name we pray. Amen.